Chapter 140, Feast of Plenty. We were not looking where we were going, running on intuition, hunches and illusion, or delusion. There, in that dark sprawling city, spilling with life, on the troubled and brooding River Thames, writhing with history and with the shifting waters of now, I find a place to live, though under constant threat of eviction. I set up camp in a crooked house, the one on the corner, cut crooked by the angle of meeting streets, the one with last few days painted on its side, though this appears to be a lie. The crooked house is sinking into the ground and requires bailing out at times of that soil that filters in from the underworld, from between the treads of the stairs, spilling out and across the floor. In this house, nothing is straight. Doors lean and stairs drop. Pictures list to one side again as soon as they are straightened. Cups and plates inch towards the edge of tables and shelves or even jump off of their own accord. Books cannot remain upright, try as they might, but soon slump over onto one another before dropping to the floor. At night it can be difficult to sleep with all that movement going on, the creaking and fidgeting of things that appear to have a life of their own. Sometimes I wake up from dreams thinking that I am living on a boat, things slipping and sliding as it rocks, rolling from side to side, futilely searching for the lowest point to be to satisfy gravity. Cupboards and drawers are forever falling open, or else they are impossible to close, as their shape and destination no longer correspond. Or if they are closed, no manner of levering or wedging can pry them open again. "Complicated," says Pedro, "like living with a difficult person. A challenge. We take it in our stride, not wallowing in want, but maintaining that all-important optimistic angle and getting on with our respective work. To ward off the cold, I curl up in my bed, scribbling observations and revelations in a notebook, in a kind of code that even I cannot decipher at times, cutting and pasting lines for increased aesthetic effect. At the copy center, I duplicate cassettes, work in progress and finished pieces in the Forvest style, applied to music. Imagine if Matisse or Braque or Emily Charmy were in a band. Strong colours and a painterly quality, dispensing with the distraction of realistic detail, executed with rhythm, verve and speed. Sketches to try with the recent ensemble that has formed around me. Play it like Matisse, I shout. They spring up like mushrooms, those ensembles, wherever I go. Is this a calling? A sign of the times? Each morning I queue up at the post office to send off goods, self-interviews and songs, to fanzines in obscure locations and towns I have never heard of, like Dulwich, Bitchfield, Barking, or Auchinshuggle. Some reply, others do not. One must be realistic and adjust bar accordingly. Maybe we are ahead of our time, but what is the point of that? All history now, of course, and clearly behind the times. Nevertheless, the fanzine scene quickly brought to mind dealings with Inky Ned sitting there at the door of the Slivery Moon, back in Chapter 101, taken in by a community what can be better than that? This city full of outsiders, misfits and drifters. All the while I engage in honing the vibe, hooking in to an approach with a viable life, including the cut-and-paste approach at times, to see where that would lead, like William S. Burroughs or even Bowie. Try anything, try it all. It's all up for grabs, a free-for-all, a smorgasbord of thought, feast of plenty, this beating scrap metal of dreams into a bold new shape for a brave new scheme.